Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. There are creatures you see in the wild places of South Dakota, and then there are creatures that see you. SDPB's Kevin Wooster writes a blog for South Dakota Public Broadcasting. It's called On the Other Hand. You can find it at sdpb.org. He joins us now on the phone. Kevin Wooster, welcome back.
Always good to be back, Lori, especially to talk about mountain lions.
Mountain lions. This is an exciting topic. Tell us a little bit, especially for those East River folks. There's a season coming up.
There is. And, to look back a little bit, when I was with the Argus Leader in Sioux Falls in the late 70s, early 80s and things, occasionally we'd get reports. And I covered the outdoors, tried to, since the early 70s when I wrote my first story about paddle fishing. Suddenly we started to hear into the late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s, people would be out in the hills, and once in a while they'd call and say, I think I saw a lion in the Black Hills. And so I'd end up doing a story on it, and the game fish and parks would say, yeah, we got a couple maybe here and there migrating through, or maybe there's a lion that's down by Custer or somewhere. We don't think there's any breeding here, and we don't have a stable population by any means. Very rare, because they've been essentially wiped out generations earlier by unlimited hunting. And then as this started, we started to hear more reports, and then pretty soon people were actually seeing them, and I was started doing those stories. And so I got to cover this return of the mountain lion, which by the year 2000, they were standing along roadsides, people were running over them, they were showing up in towns, they were killing domestic pets, and it was it got to be really controversial and really emotional as we moved towards 2005, when we had our first really established lion season in the state. And now we're coming up next Tuesday for, what does that make, the 12th or 13th lion season that we've had since they started the season.
So what caused the comeback? How did that happen? Was it management intentional, or was it something that sort of just happened as wild things do?
Well, I think part of it is that. Part of it is one of these natural storms of factors that come together. And part of it was we put the mountain lion on our protected species list in South Dakota finally in the 1970s. And other states were doing more in protection and management of lions. And, of course, in the western states they had existed and continued, but the populations were down in many areas. So they started to rebuild. About the same time, we were doing some pretty intensive management of deer and elk herds in the Black Hills, and some weather contributed and helped, and we had our building elk and deer herds, turkey populations were up, and so there was this really great prey base at a time when more migrating lions, because lions migrate, especially when they're under pressure, population pressure in one area, the young males especially will move out and look for new terrain, and eventually the females will join them, and so they think the right number of females came into the hills with existing males, and the food was here, and away they went.
So what's their role in the ecosystem today?
Well, they sit right at the top of it in terms of a predator, except for us, and really only those of us who choose to hunt and kill lions. Most of us aren't interested in that. I'm a hunter, but that's not something I'm interested in doing. I love to cover the season and to cover them. But they are, they kill big game. These lions go up to 175 pounds. More commonly, a lion weighs around 100 plus, depending on male or female. And they can kill full-sized elk. They kill deer. They kill a fair number of deer. At one point, I did a story that they believed that the lions in the Black Hills were killing as many deer as the sport hunters were, which aggravated some of the sport hunters. But, and our population got up to an estimate of, and this is all plus or minus, we're trying to estimate, but I think they talked about 400 plus for a while, and now they're down closer to 200 or 250, 300, depending on what you're talking about. And apparently the reduction, they hit them a little heavier, has helped to limit their kill a little bit on game, which irritated some hunters, and also maybe limit their interaction with humans in town that can cause them problems and us problems. And things are a little bit more in balance now than they were a few years ago.
All right, so let's talk about lion sightings.
Yeah, I came out here in love with Mary 16 years ago plus, and I've been looking for a lion ever since I got here. and I haven't seen one yet. And as you know, I spend a lot of time outdoors, and I look a lot. And I'm in places where lions are. I see tracks. I see scat. I see lion kills, which can sometimes unnerve you when you're by yourself away from the road and you find a lion kill, a deer that's been nicely slid off to the side and covered up, and you wonder if the cat's nearby, unhappy that you're there looking at its looking at its vittles, but I've yet to see one yet, and I want to see one so bad, and I haven't, and so I'm jealous of all people who have, apparently including you, which kind of irritates me.
It's debatable, because I saw one in my car at night on the way to Custer, South Dakota, and there are people who live there who say, no, I probably didn't see that, but I know what I saw. It's not a dog, okay?
I don't, you know, I haven't even had a blur, like I say in the blog. I haven't even seen a blur where I said, was that it? Because I'm not going to mistake them for anything, and I'm looking very specifically for them. And I talked to a guy when I was writing for the Journal that drives to work from up by Pactol every morning about sunrise, who had kept track, and he'd made 22 lion sightings over a period of about 10 years. So I was very jealous of him, but I just love knowing they're there.
And tell me some of these stories, because I'm reading, the blog will be up later on at sdpb.org/Wooster, of some of these lion sightings that, I'm sorry, is it a park ranger? Who is it that
John,
you spoke to?
John Kiata, yes. Who's Game Fish and Parks guy, and he's been kind of the regional wildlife manager, who was the most prominent and most talked about, most hated, most questioned guy on lions for years, and he's getting more sleep now, both because he has an unlisted number and because things have settled down. but he's also handled more lions probably than just about anybody. Certainly other researchers, maybe as many. And you know, he talks about having a collar, just because he's telling me, lions have seen you even though you haven't seen them, and I'll bet you'd be shocked at how close some of them have been to you and you just never knew.
Yeah.
Because he talks about going out in a radio collared search for this lion with the radio collar on it that they could tell by its limited movement that it had a den, that it had kittens. So they were going to go out and try and find the kittens and radio collar them. And he said the signals from the telemetry unit he was holding said, the lion should be right in front of me. It should be right here, you guys. Look, where is it? He was standing on a big log over a little bit of a crevice or a little bit of a depression. And as he was standing there, the big female lion jumps up on the log about 10 feet away from him. God. And is not happy. And John does what you're supposed to do. He puts his hands out and talks loud to her, makes noise, and backs away. And the lion is kind of looking like, you better back away. And they decide this isn't a good time to come in and try and find the kittens and put collars on them. But that shows you that, you know, he said, I would have walked right across that log. That cat would have been 6 or 7 feet below me and just sat there and watched me walk across. Mm. And he walked, did the same thing. Close signal, can't find the lion, crawls up on a slag pile, or a slash pile, I mean, of wood and logs, and the lion's down in there. It had crawled down in there and had a little den in the slash pile, and never would have seen it. So he said to me, trust me, lions have been looking at you. You just didn't know it.
Mm. What? Why do you want to see one so badly? What is it about the mountain lion and your time in the outdoors that you just say, I need to see this with my own eyes.
Well, a friend of mine that went up to Alaska 35, 40 years ago and said, the thing he likes about Alaska is if you're stupid and make a mistake, Alaska will kill you. And that's a sad thing, but it's also, he said, I feel alive up here because you got to be frosty. You got to pay attention when you're out in grizzly country and all this kind of stuff. This isn't grizzly country. But lions are still a bit of a threat, and they're still kind of mysterious, and they move so carefully, and they're so strong and so fast, and there's so many things they can do, that they're just a wonderful animal, and mostly they just want to live and be left alone. You know, there are some that come to town to get trouble, and our policy is to remove them, which is to kill them. There's been some controversy about that, but it seems to be working. And I just love knowing they're there. I think it says things about the outdoors that matter, and it's something that we can't completely touch and control, and there should be those some things.
Have we settled down in a management, role, or how we sort of handle living alongside these creatures, or is there more work to be done?
I think we're figuring it out. There was a lot of fights about it. People that thought we were going to wipe them out, that proved obviously not to be true, and I never thought it would be true. People on the other side thought they would wipe out the elk and deer, and I never thought that would be true. Elk and deer run in cycles, and now they're coming back up again, even with lions. But I do think we need to manage them, and I think we need to respect them, and I think we need to conserve them, because they should continue to be a part of our world out here.
You can find Kevin Wooster's blog. It's called On the Other Hand, sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin's here on Thursdays, but next week we're off. We'll have some best ofs as we look at the end of the year. So, Kevin, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll see you in January.
Very Merry Christmas to you too, Lori.